On Sunday afternoons, we are looking into to the scriptures and what we found in Philippians chapter 2, in verse number 13, where this verse in verse 13, it is God, for it is God which worketh in you both to will and to do of his good pleasure. We've been investigating what the scripture tells us about how that is, the practical aspect of that. The verses that bracket this verse, verse number 12, wherefore, my beloved, as ye have always obeyed, not as in my presence only, but now much more in my absence, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. That which is within, to work that out into the living of life. It's not talking about figuring out how to be saved, but it's speaking about taking what we have, this treasure in earthen vessels, as the scripture tells us, and manifesting that. How is it that we can manifest that? How can we manifest that to our Lord and our Savior? How can we manifest that to the world? It is the Lord, indeed, God that worketh in us, and we see that by so many things, his provision, his spirit, and such as that. The subsequent verse, verse number 14, tells us that we should do all things without murmurings and disputings and such as that. And so it's the Lord that works in us. And I had that verse close here, but I'm not finding it, so I'm going to turn over there so I don't butcher it. Verse 14, do all things without murmurings and disputings. And so we are have a tendency that we would murmur and we would be a disputing people. That's just natural for us. And we need to work out our salvation with work out our own salvation with fear and trembling, knowing that it is the Lord that's provisioned us, has blessed us, and dwells us. And so how is it that that's practically done? We are at this point here of a progressive sanctification. There is a growing in the Lord. We are called the children of God, and children are to mature. We are to become, in the Bible word, in the King James translation, perfect. Now, that doesn't mean that we are sinlessly perfect, but we're to mature. We're to improve. We are to grow up. And so that's a real thing. We took a look about there is no infantile aspect at all whatsoever in the Spirit of God, but there is that which how the Lord works and how all this is that there is. We are as babes are to desire the sincere milk of the word that we might grow thereby. All right. We're to grow, Peter tells us, in the grace and knowledge of the Lord. And so there are those that don't believe that progressive sanctification, growth in the Lord. There are those, brethren, that we would know of that don't believe that there is such a thing. You have the Spirit of God and all the Spirit of God that you have when you're saved, and that's it. And the thing is there's a lot of scripture here that tells us otherwise, and so we want to understand that. One way that we can know that you and I are to grow, we are saved. One way that we can know is by this phrase that it's at hand in the scriptures where Paul says, I would not have you to be ignorant, brethren. Think about how it was, as I mentioned and preached this morning, when we did not know about the loving kindness of our Lord, we were just adrift, weren't we? What you don't know, what we don't know, we can't believe. What we don't know, we can't receive. And so the Lord's design is that his preaching, his gospel, the Lord Jesus Christ, his truth is proclaimed. And as we saw those folks there in Athens on Mars Hill, there were those that said, you know, that's it. That is it. They were convicted. They had faith in it. That was the answer. None of these Roman and Greek gods of mythology and Babylonian gods and Persian gods or whatever might have been there on Mars Hill, because, you know, it was a crossroads. I mean, Athens was a crossroads of all kinds of different peoples and such. They said that does not fill the bill. That doesn't fill this void. But this one that he has preached, as he presented it to him, the unknown God, now made known, and is unto life. You know, think about it. When you, and in the passage we're going to take a look at here in 1 Thessalonians, if you don't know that there's a resurrection, you may believe that you're saved. And it's hard for us to be in that, be in those sandals, right? To not understand, we look forward to the coming of the Lord. But if you believe that you were saved and you thought that the Lord already came and you were left, how would that affect you? And see, that's what ignorance does, is it leaves you in a void. It really leaves you in a shape. But by knowing the truth, now we know the truth, we have confidence in the truth, and that causes us to, now that we know the truth, we've got some way of reacting to the truth and pursuing living in life for our Lord that's honoring to him. And in that, we become more set apart, more sanctified for the Lord. I would not have you to be ignorant. We don't need to be ignorant of Satan's devices. And if we are, it's going to bring sorrow and woe unto us. We don't need to go investigating about how Satan tempts and works and such as that, but we don't need to be ignorant of his devices. Another thing that we took a look at, Brother Peter tells about this lot that is going to be at the end of the age, and that they have been and they will be there, that they will not take the witness of the flood. They will not receive that. They're willingly ignorant of it. They look at this earth and they look at the geological aspect and impact of the flood and everything, and they just, with bold face, deny it. Well, he says, just the way that was kept in store, and then the Lord unleashed the flood, one day he's going to unleash judgment and fire upon the earth. And so the principle is for us is we don't need to be willfully ignorant. When we learn things about the Lord, and the Lord teaches us things from his word, we need to take it up and use it. Take it up and use it in life. That's what the mature child of God does. And so then we looked at last time in 1 Corinthians chapter 10, Paul said, I don't want you to be ignorant about how the children of Israel were all exposed to the blessings, the ministry of this called man Moses, and this great deliverance by the Lord. But who was it that the Lord was not pleased with? Those that didn't believe. Those that didn't believe. Don't be ignorant of that. Don't be ignorant of the ramifications of unbelief. Yes, as the children of God, we're saved, and our soul is eternally rescued by the Lord Jesus Christ. But you know what? We can take a saved, the life of a saved person can be lived in faithlessness, and we'd be brought down there to the end of our lives and going on into eternity and be saved so as by fire. As I mentioned to you a few messages ago, we get the first course building, trying to get that first course building on that foundation that is in Christ, that is Christ. And then we just do something that just wipes that off, and we never grow up, never build, never move on, never are more sanctified. We just stay an infant. We just stay a child. And we don't need to be that. That's not what our calling is. And so don't be ignorant of the Lord's working, even in our own midst. This afternoon, we want to take a look at 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, a familiar passage, but we want to take a look at it in this light and try to put ourselves with these saints in their situation. And, you know, I mean, how would we feel? How would we feel if we thought the Lord Jesus had already come? We know we're saved. We know we're in his church here. But because we just didn't know about the details of it, and we got a letter, maybe a fake letter from Paul, saying that the Lord Jesus had already come back, I mean, that would demoralize us, wouldn't it? Why have we been left? We know we've been touched by the Lord. We know we're His church. We know we're saved and He's put us in this church. We know the effectual working of the Lord into us. And why has He left us? I mean, that's the place that these folks were in, our brothers and sisters. Saved, a member of one of the Lord's churches, but they were ignorant. Again, it's not bad to be ignorant unless you're willfully ignorant, faced with the facts and just rejected. It's being ignorant has ramifications. It'll affect us. It'll impact us. But knowing the truth, as we preach this morning, it'll do nothing but help us. And we need to receive it. And indeed, we'll be blessed in it. And we'll grow up in our Lord. Let's read here 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verse number 13. But I would not have you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning them which are asleep, that you sorrow not, even as others which have no hope. Okay? So those that are dead, okay, the reference by the Lord is that they're asleep. Remember how it was with the Lord Jesus and His ministry? That's the way He talked about death. She's asleep. Lazarus is asleep. Or those that had died as the brethren write, those that are asleep in Christ. Death is not a challenge to the Lord. He's defeated death. And that's how by Him defeating death, He died. Having become a man, He willingly died. That means His brain function was flat. His respiration was flat. His heartbeat was non-existent for 3 days and three nights. And He took His life back again. That's what the meaning of giving us everlasting life is we will, like Job said, I'll see Him with my eyes. I'll behold Him with my eyes, even though this body's destroyed. So He said, I don't want you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning them that are dead, that are asleep in the Lord, that you sorrow not even as others which have no hope. I don't want you to be the way it is typical there in Thessalonica in Greece. When people die, they say that's the end. And we see that a lot in our culture and society, don't we, too? It's terrible to go to the funeral of people that are ignorant of the salvation that's found in the Lord and ignorant about what the future holds for everyone. That's a sad thing. It's a terrible thing. I preached a funeral some years ago for a family and a family member that they just did not know. And it was terrible. It was terrible. It was terrible for them because they didn't know the truth, how to be delivered, and they didn't know the truth about the future. And so I don't want you to sorrow like those that have no hope. For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so them also which sleep in Jesus will God bring with Him. So, do we believe in the gospel of Jesus? Are we trusting Him? Those that are dead, He's going to bring with Him. They're coming back. All those, our brothers and sisters that have passed on and gone on before us, if we are here at the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ, He will bring them with Him. We'll be together. Jesus wants His saints with Him. And so, think about it. If we can stretch, you don't know that. And then you learn that. What would that do for you? When people die, I know I'm saved. Then people die. I guess I'll just die. I mean, think of these people. They knew nothing but idolatry all of their lives. Right? They've been changed by this one that died and was buried and rose again. They've been rescued. They've been forgiven, right? Paul said there on Mars Hill, calls every man now to repent. They've been forgiven. They have peace with God. But it's hard for us just to imagine having a point where you hadn't been taught about what happens next after death and the future. See how blessed we are to be so immersed? But these people didn't know. A majority of them, it seems, didn't know. If we believe in the gospel of Jesus Christ, the salvation of our soul, even so them which sleep in Jesus will God bring with him. He'll bring them back. You mean they're going to be alive? Yes. For this we say unto you by the word of the Lord. This is what the Lord has said. See, this is not, Paul makes a distinction there. This is not his opinion. I'm speculating that this is the way it'll work. No, he's not saying that, is he? He's saying this is what the Lord has ordained. For this we say unto you by the word of the Lord, that we which are alive and remain unto the coming of the Lord shall not prevent or go before precede them which are asleep. What? Go before, go after. What's he getting at? What's he talking about? He's talking about an event that we do look forward to. We're alive here on the earth. We're to be about the Lord's business, and we're to be looking for this event, the imminent return of the Lord Jesus Christ for his people. We have expectation of that. The time and the hour is not known to any man, not even the Lord Jesus Christ. But when the Father tells him to go, he'll come. And so he says, these that are asleep, we're not going to go before them. Here's what's going to happen. Now, again, try to imagine you've never heard this before. For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout. He's coming back down. He sure is. There's going to be a shout that'll be heard by his people. A shout that we will hear when it is exclaimed. With the voice of the archangel. Isn't that Michael? As far as we know in the scripture, Michael. He's going to be shouting a thing, and we're going to hear it. You mean, and think about their context, you mean all over the known world? You mean up here in Greece and over in Italy and over there in Persia and Babylonia and down in Africa? How is it for us? All over the globe? They didn't know about the globe. I mean, they knew about the sphere of the earth, but they didn't know about all the lands of the earth. They knew about what they knew about. I mean, how can somebody shout and it be heard for 10 miles? 50 miles. But there's going to be a shout one day that'll be heard the globe over. For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trump of God. A trump will sound. You know, and the thing is I believe it'll be a trump that the children of the Lord will know exactly what it's for. You ever, up in Missouri, where we used to live and where our family lives up there, there's been a lot of development, a lot of subdivisions built in that area. And last few times that we've been with our family, they've commented about it. There's a noise that's going on now out there off of Highway U in Lincoln County, South Lincoln County, and nobody knows what it is. It's the nearly continual running of some kind of motor or fan or something. And it's not grain elevators. But yet, now for a year, they don't know what it is, and they pick it up and they talk about it. You know, when this trump sounds, the children of God won't have to say, what was that? What was that? We'll know exactly what it is. The trump will sound, the trump of God, this voice, the shout, the voice of the archangels, and the sounding of the trump of God. And you know what's going to happen? The dead in Christ shall rise first. You mean they're coming back to life? They sure are. They are alive now with the Lord, but relative to this, that have those that have died, they're going to come up out of the grave. And I think the precedent that we have is what we see in the resurrection of our Lord Jesus Christ. That great earthquake that took place, and those saints that were buried there in that cemetery, that around the tomb of the Lord Jesus, they wrote the power of the resurrection. It is just hard. I speak as a man. It's hard to keep the power of the resurrection down. When Jesus rose from the grave, there were those in graves round about him that they rose from the grave too and went into the city, and they were known. That's the power of the resurrection. I kind of take that. I may be wrong, but I kind of take that was just, you know how Jesus said when the woman that had the issue of blood touched him and perceived virtue, power went out of him? I think it's that same kind of thing. The power that brought and raised Jesus from the dead affected those buried around him there. That's what I wonder about. Because the scripture's plain to tell us that they went into the town and they were known. Those people were. The dead are going to rise first. The dead in Christ. If you're here and you're not saved and you die that way, you'll not be the dead in Christ. But I tell you what, we want you to be the dead in Christ. We want you to be saved. We can't save you. Jesus is the one that can save you. And we want it to be that way for you, that when this trump sounds, when the archangel declares what he has to declare, when the trump of God sounds and you pass on before that time, we want this to be the case with you. It can only be by being the dead in Christ, saved by the Lord Jesus, saved by him. Then we, which are alive and remain, the graves will open for them. And then we, which are alive and remain, shall be caught up together with them. There'll be that joining. There'll be that, and what a trip that'll be, huh? What a ride that will be to be caught up. The Lord will appear. You know, and you think about the globe, you know, at the surface of the earth, the circumference of the earth is like 24,000 miles. You know, but the Jesus can be everywhere all at the same time. We're over here, and we've got brothers and sisters over on the other side of the world. I think the opposite position for us on the other side of the globe is somewhere over there. I looked that up one time. Somewhere over there, I think in the ocean around Australia or something. That doesn't sound right. No, the exact opposite. So it takes us to the southern hemisphere. Folks over in Australia that are saved, they'll hear the same thing we hear, and gone we will be. And what's he say will happen? Caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, to be received up to the Lord. Now, understand, remember, they have not, it doesn't seem like they have not heard this ever before. Or there's a contingent of them that has not heard it before. And the apostle is writing to them. The ignorance that they had about the death of the saints and the coming of the Lord Jesus for the dead and the living on earth. I misspoke earlier about there's another thing regarding them, but this is not the case. But of the saints that have died or in the graves, and then the saints that are alive, they've not heard this before. And now they've been illuminated to it. Think what an impact that would have on your life. We know the truth. Would it not affect how we live? It should. That Jesus can come back at any moment. That our God and our Savior has the power to take the dead and make them alive again. He has the power, as Brother as Brother Paul speaks in 1 Corinthians 15, he has the power to make a spiritual body for them in which they dwell now and then reunite them with their physical body. He's got that power. That's our Savior. And he's coming back for us. The dispelling of ignorance and the receiving of the truth, it'll cause us to grow up. You know what we've got then, too? We've got a message to tell, because there are people that don't know. Remember how it was we saw this morning on Mars Hill? Those people didn't believe in a resurrection. They might have believed in reincarnation. But listen, the resurrection and eternal life with our Lord is not reincarnation. It's deliverance, isn't it? It's deliverance, complete and total and full deliverance from the curse. Because Job said, even though my body is destroyed, I'm going to see him with my eyes. And so to stretch, for us, it's just so common. We're saved and we just, these things are preached. We have this blessing of the immersion in these truths. And you know, for the typical saved person in one of our kind of churches, these things are learned real, real early and real, real soon. And it's good. That's a blessing. May we realize the blessing that it is. And in that, let us grow up and tell it. And then live for our Lord because of it. Caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. Hello, Lord. In the air. And so shall we ever be with the Lord. No parting. No, never being out of his presence again. During the millennial reign, we'll have assignments, and that might be on the other part of the globe, but remember, Jesus is everywhere. Like Jesus said, he told Nicodemus, no man has ascended up to heaven, but he that came down from heaven, even the Son of Man which is in heaven. We can't say a thing like that, but Jesus can. To meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. And he says, in the dispelling of this ignorance, in the understanding of this truth, he says what? Wherefore, comfort one another with these words. They're words of comfort. We don't have to worry and be concerned about the dead in Christ. They're secure with the Lord. They are with him. But they will have a body again. And we will be together again. To close, I want us to read this over here connected to it in 1 John. And it fits in with this of growing up in our Lord, this of progressive sanctification. In verse number 28 of chapter 2, and now, little children, abide in him, that when he shall appear, that's just what we read about, right? When he appears, we may have confidence and not be ashamed before him at his coming. Jesus is coming back, and you know what? You and I could be found off doing something, thinking something, or pursuing something that we shouldn't be doing. And what a terrible thing for a child of God to be off sinning against their Lord, and he come back right then. I don't want that to my account, do you? To be disobedient, see what the truth does for us. It causes us to grow up and face the reality of this thing. We are told to not be ashamed. That means it's possible for us to be ashamed. He's coming back. If we go by the grave, then we'll be raised from our bodies will be raised from our burying place. But when he appears and we are yet alive, we want to have confidence. We want to have that blessing of being obedient to him, being self-controlled like we're called to be, have confidence obeying him, and not be ashamed before him at his coming. What a terrible thing for myself or for you to be off doing something, disobedient to the Lord, using his blessings in a sinful way, and then he come back right then. Well, how can we guard against such a thing? Be obedient to him all the time. Be obedient all the time. He might come back before the day's over. And then it goes on to say, if you know that he is righteous, do you know that he is righteous? He sure is righteous because he's the righteousness that the Father receives, accepts. And praise be to God that his righteousness, the righteous obedience of the Son, is imputed. It's laid to the account of those that he saves. Are you saved? You've been given the righteousness of Christ. The Father looks on at his righteousness and he says, my son. Even though it's the saved sinner Jim Duke, or it's the saved sinner your name, when the Father looks on at us being saved by the Lord Jesus, he says, the righteousness of my son. And in that, it causes him also to justify us, make us just as if we've never sinned. If you know that he is righteous, Jesus, and you know that everyone that doeth righteousness is born of him. So not being off doing shameful things, but doing righteousness and obeying the Lord. Behold, what manner of love, chapter 3, verse 1, the Father hath bestowed upon us. Said, behold, take a real good, strong look at it. Look at it strong. That's what that word behold means. To look at it. Consider this great love, what manner of love the Father hath bestowed, that has put upon us his graciousness, his favor upon us, that we should be called the sons of God. Therefore, the world knoweth us not because it knew him not. Beloved, now are we the sons of God, right now. And it doth not yet appear what we shall be, but we know that when he shall appear, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. It brings us on a little bit farther, doesn't it? Those that are dead in Christ, we know the Lord. Our loved ones that are saved, our brothers and sisters saved and having died and going on to be with the Lord before us, their bodies lying in a grave somewhere in the heart of the earth. When the Lord Jesus comes back, they're going to come out of those graves. And we're not going to go before them, we who are alive, but they're going to go first. And wouldn't it be something to be at the cemetery then? I mean, wouldn't it be, the whole thing's going to happen in a flash. But wouldn't it be something to be at the cemetery then? And then when we which alive and remain will be caught up together with them and be with the Lord, see the Lord and be with him forever. A warning here in this passage, be obedient and pursue after righteousness whereby you've been saved, whereby we have been saved and redeemed and rescued by our Lord. Because that's what the children of God do, is they obey. They follow the Lord. And when you and I, when we're on our way there in the clouds after the shout and the voice of the archangel and the trump of God, and we're on our way going through the clouds and going up through the atmosphere of this earth and wherever it is that the Lord, oh, he's coming in the clouds, so he's going to be in the first heaven, isn't he? When we see him, when we lay our eyes on him, we will have been changed. We'll be like him because we'll see him as he is. When we see him, we will have been changed. For we shall see him as he is. And here's another point for us to grow up in. Every man that hath this hope, every man, woman, boy, or girl that is saved by the Lord Jesus Christ, that has this hope of the coming return of the Lord Jesus Christ, what's he say? Hath this hope in him, purifieth himself, even as he is pure. How pure is the Lord Jesus Christ? He's impeccable, isn't he? I mean, there's not the little finest angstrom of sin in him. The smallest unit of measure and less, he has not a bit. He's that pure. What we're called to do as his children, to grow up and mature, to be found pure ourselves. And we've seen in all this, can we do that ourselves? No, not just by ourselves. We cannot. But we have the Spirit of God living within us. Let us avail ourselves to the Spirit that lives within us. Let us pray and petition him to help us. He's able to help us. There is no limit to his power and ability. Let us avail ourselves to the armor. Let us avail ourselves to the Word of God. And he will help us, that we might be pure, like our Savior is pure. We don't want to be ashamed when he comes. An infantile child of God will be ashamed when he comes. But one that's mature will have less to be ashamed about, won't they? May the Lord help us. Grow up. Progressive sanctification, being set apart for the Lord and his purpose and his word. One day we will be, the sanctification won't be progressive anymore, will it? It'll be done. It'll be done. It'll be accomplished. We'll be there to do his bidding throughout eternity. I tell you what, and it won't be boring either. And the praising and the glorifying and the preaching will be a lot better than here. But in the meantime, this is what we have. May the Lord help us.